Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Good morning, golfers. Your tee time awaits. It's the Tee to Green Golf Show here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Got a thought on the PGA Tour? Want help with your swing? Give the show a call at 803-0550.
Tee to Green is being presented by the Western New York PGA. Woods to wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome. Custom Turf, Michelob Ultra, and Jim Beam. And by our home clubs, Tantera Golf Club, Briarwood Country Club, and Lancaster Country Club.
A hole in one, not bad.
Now it's time to talk golf. Here are your hosts, Brian Koziol, Kevin Sylvester, and PGA Pro Jeff Mitis.
Good morning, everybody. Another edition of Tee to Green live on the air here on WGR Sports Radio 550. I'm Brian Koziol, along with Kevin Sylvester, PGA Pro Jeff Mitis. Thanks for being with us here. Hope you're having a great start to your weekend. Coming up here on the show, lots to get to. We'll talk about last week's Memorial win for Jon Rahm, his chip-in, the little controversy that went with it, this week's 3M Open in Minnesota, Phil Mickelson doing some interesting things last week. We'll talk about that. Taylor Gessel from Callaway Golf coming up in our second segment. Callaway with some great new things this year coming from their Maverick line and their Chrome Soft golf ball. So we'll talk to Taylor coming up in our second segment. And our normal features, check of the PGA Tour Leaderboard, Ryder Cup Report, Champions Tour Report, and our Western New York PGA Tip of the Week, all coming your way here with me, Brian Koziol, Kevin Sylvester, and PGA Pro Jeff Mitis. Kevin, good morning. Another week with good weather for everybody to get their golf in here in Western New York.
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, we had some rain there midweek, a lot of rain at certain spots. But you know what? To sound old, we needed the rain.
That's right.
We did need the rain, actually. So
yeah, takes a little roll off the ball, just launch it a little higher. That's not a problem, right?
Yeah, but I like firm and fast, Jeff. I like the golf course to play firm and fast. I don't like the soft golf course.
You know, I'm a fan also. You see a lot of green golf courses. Members tend to like it really green. I like it brown around the edges. I do like it firm and fast. I think most golf courses, especially a lot of the older ones, were designed to be played that way. You know, they're designed to be, you know, the sprinkler systems and stuff when they were designed weren't as virulent as they are nowadays. Yeah, they couldn't throw the water as far and stuff like that. So I've always enjoyed that. I always like hitting those little knockdowns and bumping runs and having to hit a good shot to make it hold the green.
Well, then both of you must have really enjoyed watching last week's Memorial in terms of firm and fast, because boy, did that have it ever there as we get our check of the PGA Tour leaderboard now here, brought to you by Callaway Chrome Soft. This ball is different. We'll talk a little Callaway golf coming up in our second segment. And also by Puma Golf Shoes. Well, last week, we'll get to this week's tournament, the 3M Open, in a moment, but a couple of things from last week's Memorial that I want to get to, including those conditions. Let's start there. That was as difficult as a course plays. That's not a major, Kevin. Firm, fast. At times, the players might have even said, did it even maybe even a little unfair. But with Jack Nicklaus being the host, probably no one's going to say anything out loud. But nevertheless, boy, what a challenge it was last week for those golfers at Memorial.
Well, listen, Jack set up the golf. We didn't have the Open Championship, right? So in its place was the Memorial, and the field was a major field. So why not make it like a major? Right. Yep. And so it certainly played that way. You know, that place is fantastic. I've been there. It is an incredible golf. I can't believe they started bulldozing the greens right after. I can't believe, I mean, you'd see what happened there and say, why do they need to make changes to that golf course? It challenged the best players in the world. It played great. To have, Jeff, you tell me if I'm right with this, to have the rough that thick, with the course that fast, that was part of the challenge, but really it was the wind, right, that caused so many problems for these players. That's what dried the golf course out.
Yeah, it's all those things make it very, very hard. You know, and they were hosting 2 weeks in a row, and I'm sure he wanted to differentiate, you know, his event from the week before and not having to worry, you know, if he's trying to make it difficult, which I think he was. I do think there was something in their minds about, you know, there's no open and this is an open-type golf course and we have open-type conditions. And not having to worry about losing the greens because even as they were still on the golf course, they were tearing up the shot on some of the greens on some of the early holes. Not having to worry about that, I think, also helps. You know, that you have to bring those greens back the next week. But to me, it was great golf to watch. I always like watching that kind of golf. You know, I don't mind watching guys make a double and where par is a very good score. You know, it's fun to watch them shoot 34 under, but it's also fun to watch, you know, 10 under, 6 under, whatever, those kind of scores win an event with a strong field like that also.
Well, and this is for the guys out there, you know, the club players here, for us amateur golfers if they're complaining about it, that's the closest you're going to see the pros play how you play, where, hey, I got a par, I did well on that hole, right? I mean, there should be a premium on the fairway and hitting a green there. And that's what Jack Nicklaus put on that golf course. And it's not like it wasn't, it's not like players finished plus one was a champion. I mean, there are several players under par. It wasn't crazy.
I like John Rahm. Didn't he say guys wouldn't break 90 or 100? Your average scratch golfer, I think he said after the Saturday round, didn't think he'd break 90 or 100. And that's
true. Break
100.
Say it wouldn't break 80. Said he wouldn't, the club.
Yeah, then he, I think he amended it even.
He changed it and then said 90 after, yeah.
It's probably right.
Yeah.
He is right. I mean, we played Oak Hill after after the seniors, and it was a wet time. You know, it wasn't firm and hot and in U.S. Open conditions. So that's definitely, there's definitely a lot of truth to that.
Yeah. No, and some big names didn't handle it well. Dustin Johnson went 80-80. He now has another poor first round and is now withdrawn this week with a minor kind of back injury, I believe. So he's not playing the weekend at the 3M Open for this week's tournament, but he struggles after his previous start was a win. Bryson DeChambeau is playing as good as anybody in the world, and he implodes on the 15th hole at the Memorial, takes a 10, and all of a sudden now he misses the cut. And DeChambeau, Kevin, obviously during that whole hole, it was the best and the worst and the mood swings of all encapsulated into one hole. And the Bryson talk still after that event where he takes a 10 and doesn't make it, people still are loving him and hating him. And a lot of people are still kind of deciding on him right now.
All right. Well, let me say this about the 15th hole. Having been there, I don't know if you guys, for those who have been there and you're watching on television, that hole is an incredibly tight hole. It's there's not a ton of landing room out there for where they hit it, okay, on the par five up the hill. And as far as he's hitting it, so you've got to be pretty precise there. And that second shot too, the little creek on the right side, hitting up top on left, is no bargain to keeping that golf ball on the green. I think that's a really tough hole. Now, the properties, the private homes there along the right side, see, this is where I think he, that property owner put up a barrier fence, right? I think the tournament puts the fence up, if I remember correctly, because that was some fencing we saw around that area there. And that's where, you know, his argument was, well, is it under the fence? Is it not? And I remember this with Dustin Johnson at the Travelers on the 13th hole. The golf ball's on the inside of the line, Jeff. It's in play, correct?
Correct, yeah.
All right.
And even if the whole ball has to be out of bounds, too. It's
correct.
I thought he's a little thin-skinned about a lot of that stuff. You know, he didn't like he didn't want to be portrayed in a bad light. And then he didn't – even after that round when he missed the cut, no interviews. He just scoots out and skips the interview session. So – I thought, you know, he got a little frazzled to me, I think.
But I'll say this about DeChambeau, and I'll say this about John Rahm. They both, okay, and we saw Rahm's incident on 11, slams his driver, right? He's got a six-shot lead at the time when he hit it in the hazard and, you know, slams the driver on the tee.
Called him out right on the air.
As he should. I understand why he'd be mad. He wears his emotions on his sleeve. And I actually, in an interview on the show, Brian, I talked to John Rahm about
it. We had Rahm on back in April. Tee to green karma. He's now number one in the world.
There you go. You know, he says he just, you know, he gets it out of his system, right? It's gone. And then he moves on from there. That's something Bryson, I think, needs to work on with that. But they're both, what I wanted to say about both of them is they're both intense. These are professional athletes at the highest level, at the very highest level now with John Rahm. And it's win or nothing for these guys. So they're very intense people inside the lines. I will tell you, when it's done, and you even saw the interview with John Rahm, they're different people. Although with Bryson, I'm walking away there. I thought that was a characteristic. Usually, he does do interviews.
Well, here's the problem though. The public is seeing these things. They may not see off the course, Kevin, as you would say, or that they're different. But here's the difference. I've never at least have witnessed John Rahm in any way giving any sort of, I don't know if rudeness is the word, or disrespect to other human beings while they're on the golf course. John Rahm gets animated, and I'm okay with it. And even Faldo said it's okay to play with a little of that. Even Jack Nicklaus said it's you want to play with a little fire. He goes, I got mad. Like that's. But when DeChambeau said interactions – with the official, like the official obviously is not there to screw him over. He's there to do his job.
Correct.
And then he asked for another one. And I thought that interaction didn't go well. Then his caddy goes over toward the cameraman and kind of pushes in and leans in. We know 2 weeks ago, DeChambeau had that thing with saying, well, the cameraman shouldn't have stayed on me. It puts me in a bad light. Like the human interaction, how we treat each other, that should be to me more valued. And I haven't seen any of that from Rahm. If Rahm wants to hit his club on the ground, because that's the way he deals with it, well, that's fine. He's not hurting anybody. I just don't like the way DeChambeau interacts with others, or at least, right, you know, is giving that. And you might be totally right, Kevin. Off the course, maybe he's the nicest person. I'm not saying he's not, but I just don't like how he seems to be interacting with people that are there that have nothing to do with maybe why he's struggling. The camera guy, the rules official, they're just there to do their job. They're trying to make the tournament run as smoothly as possible. And I just, for a guy that he knows now he's in that much spotlight, I think he's got to learn how to handle that better.
Well said. I can't argue anything you said right there.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. You know, the rule. I agree with you. The rules official, he's not even making the rules. The rules of golf are making the rules. You're just reading them from the book to the guy. So it's not that guy's fault. Having some other guy try to give you a second opinion is a little peculiar, I thought. But
I'll give you, Brian, I'll give you an interaction I had with Peter Malnati several years ago in San Antonio at the Valero Texas Open. Now, Peter is one of the nicest guys in the world. And on the, you know, we get close to the action and we're calling shots while they're hitting shots, hitting putts. So going to the fourth tee box, the third hole's a par three, his caddy catches up to me as I'm working up there, and I can hear footsteps. He's running. And he taps me and he's like, hey, we can hear you over there in the green. I'm like, oh, sorry. My bad. I'll be a little quieter, move further away. So after the round, I had interviewed Peter, and I said, Peter, first before we even start, I'm going to apologize. Your caddy came to me on the, you know, fourth tee box, said, you heard me. I'm sorry. You know, I apologize for that. He goes, well, I actually heard you the whole round. And I said, wow, okay. I'm sorry. You know, he's like, no, it's okay. I said, well, the good news is, you're playing well enough that us broadcasters are here following you. And so he's like, that's a fantastic point. And so that's the point with Bryson DeChambeau. When I'm trying, like, you can't have it both ways. If you want the attention so you get the sponsors because you're playing well, and he has several sponsors. That was that video that he put out by himself there at his home. He integrated all the sponsors in there. If you want that, you have to live with the other end of it. They're going to be there watching every single move. That's the deal. That comes with fame. And he's a fantastic player, but he's also a young player. And I just hope like he matures a little bit. I mean, he's still in his – is he even 25, DeChambeau? I mean, he's still a young guy. And, you know, I'm sorry for all the 20-year-olds out there listening, but you haven't grown up yet.
Yep. I agree. No, I hope he gets some, I'm sure he'll get some advice from some people, and hopefully he takes it. T to Green here on WGR, Brian Colziel, Kevin Sylvester, PGA Pro, Jeff Mitas, T to Green, presented by the Western New York PGA. We'll get our Western New York PGA tip of the week here coming up shortly. Woods to Wedges inside the...
By the way, it'll be 27 in September. I just didn't want to leave the audience hanging. I left them hanging last week on Morikawa, who did not play in the Porter Cup. I didn't want to leave him hanging on DeChambeau's age here. Okay, sorry.
That's all right. Woods to Wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome. Michelob Ultra, Custom Turf, Jim Beam, and our home clubs, Tantera, Briarwood, and Lancaster Country Club. Since you mentioned Morikawa, we did talk last week on the show. He did not play in the Porter Cup. Let's pass along this. I had it for later in the show, but since you mentioned the Porter Cup, the Porter Cup this week announcing that the Senior Porter Cup in September will be canceled for this year due to COVID reasons. So all three Porter Cups, the women's, the men's, and the seniors now, unfortunately, not going to happen this year at Niagara Falls Country Club. Jeff, we do our show up there every year for the women's and the men's tournaments. And obviously, with the previous two being canceled, this probably was coming too as well. Not a surprise, but it's too bad because those events up at Niagara Falls are always done so well. And I know this year especially, they're really kind of heartbroken about the senior one because they were really going to do a lot to honor Fred Silver this year, who, of course, has been a major part of all the Porter Cups up there and the history of Niagara Falls Country Club golf.
Yeah, it's disappointing. I mean, and it was so much fun for us to go up there, you know, just to be around the events with the buzz and the and there you got the rough growing up for that. And they got the greens firmed up and, they, you know, they've got major conditions for their golf course for those events. And it's disappointing, you know, just looking forward to next year. It's just one of those things. And I know a lot of guys from the local area that try to qualify. It's disappointing for them to get a chance to play at such a great event.
That's right. One more thing on the Memorial before we take our first break here. By the way, coming up in a few minutes, Taylor Gessel from Callaway Golf going to talk about the Maverick driver, the Maverick irons, the Chrome softball, the triple track Odyssey putter, all that coming up in our second segment here on Tee to Green. So Rahm wins. He goes to number one in the world, not playing this week at the 3M Open, but the shot that kind of sealed it for him, he chips in on the 16th and really there takes birdie, kind of takes control of the tournament. However, in super, super, super slow-mo, high-def, zoom-in camera, it showed that the ball actually did move. And after he was done, he was informed about it and had to take a two-stroke penalty. He was winning by five, so he ended up winning by three. So ultimately, it did not mean anything in terms of the final result. However, Kevin, we've seen this before. Dustin Johnson at the U.S. Open at Oakmont at 16. Something happens. They're not informed right away. They're playing. At some point, if this is how it's going to be with using video, which, by the way, I've got a whole other comment on, but when is the time that they have to tell them? I mean, had Rahm only been up by one or two, they play 17 and 18 differently, possibly, both of the players. Obviously, Ryan Palmer, who he's trying to chase down, might have as well. So I just think if they're going to use this, I feel like they got to do a better job of informing the players quicker.
All right, well, two things. So, number one, I mean, I think it took a while to determine if the ball, you know, moved, intention, all these things. There's no way he could – to my mind, there's no way he knew the ball moved. It was such a –
I agree.
Right? I mean, yep. there was no intention to move the golf ball and prove anything.
If anything – it turned even down into the grass more.
Yes.
If you want to argue that it did anything.
So I don't think there's no question of that whatsoever. As far as informing, first of all, like, it's an after the fact thing, right? Social media, all those deals. Well, he's trying to win. Do you go piss him off, right? well, he's got a few holes to go here. I don't know. Because you remember what we've seen with Dustin at the Open, he was kind of like, whatever. That's just, you know, kind of his personality and such. And in the end, it was moot. And the same thing with DJ. It was moot. It didn't matter.
Luckily, yes.
Right? I'm with you. So what you have to wonder is how many other times did that happen to a golfer on that golf course that week? with a rough. There wasn't a camera on there.
He's in the lead. There's all the cameras that are covering the tournament on him.
Right.
What if he's teeing off Friday off the 10th hole and there's no gallery and there's no camera necessarily on that shot? Like, and that happens every week, Kevin.
But if he would have moved, if he would have saw it moved, he would have put the ball back. I've seen play. I'm going to tell you right now. I've seen players. I've been calling shots with players where they don't have cameras around them, and they tell their partners, "Hey, the ball moved." These guys know. They know they're being watched. Trust me, if he saw it move, he would have stopped and moved it back and called an official over.
And I've officiated many events, and there is a protocol for that for the rules. And I know they've changed it lately. Like, the overnight stuff has stopped, right? You can't do that anymore.
That's correct.
So they've gotten a little better. This one was really ticky-tack, I thought. And I think if the only thing they're incumbent on them is if they know that they would go to him on the tee and say, "Hey, just in case you – so you know, we are looking at this." So, you know, it may have helped him on the next two holes in case there is a penalty. So as soon as they know, they should inform him that they are looking into the incident.
Yep. And just to wrap this, I agree, Kevin. I think if any golfer sees it, they're going to call it on themselves. They wouldn't make it on the PGA Tour if they wouldn't do, you know, if they wouldn't do the honorable thing. All I'm asking for is consistency. You can't do that with three holes to go at the end of the tournament and also then not do it on Friday at 7 a.m. when you're not being televised. Like,
but it was seen. Like,
I know.
You know, we can say that, but the fact was it was seen. Everybody's watching it. This is the leader. And like, oh my gosh, that happened. It was noticed. So it had to be brought to the attention.
He gained no advantage either. Right. So
correct. Right. But you know,
So I don't know. Is there a good solution? Because I mean, there's a lot of guys that don't have every shot televised.
We've had this conversation about the rules of golf since the rules of golf began.
Yeah. Well, we'll continue it, I'm sure, the next time it comes up.
Listen, the last time it came up was Patrick Reed in Tiger's event, right?
That's right, yeah. All right, we'll take a break. Obviously, no finality on that, but I'm sure we'll talk about it again.
The rules are the rules, and it was caught. And he's like, okay, you know, if I did it, all right. I didn't see
Absolutely.
It.
That's
so,
right.
Anyhow.
All right, more on the Rahm chip-in in terms of how you can chip in from the heavy rough. That'll be our tip of the week here, brought to you by the Western PGA, coming up in our third segment. But next up, Taylor Gessel joins us from Callaway Golf as we roll on here on Tee to Green with Kevin Sylvester, PGA Pro Jeff Mitas. I'm Brian Colesdale. Derek Kramer producing. More Tee to Green coming up right after this.
You're listening to Tee to Green, presented by the Western New York PGA. Woods to wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome. Custom turf, Michelob Ultra, and Jim Beam. And by our home clubs, Tantara Golf Club, Briarwood Country Club, and Lancaster Country Club. Stay tuned. More Tee to Green coming up.
Welcome back, everybody. Segment number 2, Tee to Green, here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Hope everybody's having a great start to your weekend. Brian Colesdale, Kevin Sylvester, PGA Pro Jeff Mitas back with you here. If you missed our first segment, we talked a lot about John Rahm and what he did last week, his chip-in, did the ball move, what it should have been done. It'll all be up in our on-demand audio coming up a little bit later this morning at WGR550.com. But for now, we're pleased to be joined by one of the friends of the show, Taylor Gessel from Callaway Golf, who we've gotten to know really well this year from our fitting sessions and our other works throughout the Callaway Golf season here. Taylor, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Gentlemen, good to be here.
So we first did a fitting session, Kevin and I did with you, back inside Woods to Wedges in early March, just before kind of the world shut down as we know it. But it's been a great fit. It was a great fitting session. You fit us for all the clubs that we're currently playing right now. And, you know, I'll speak for Kevin. I know we're enjoying the results that we're getting. We've put that out on our YouTube page. I'll tweet it out again for those that maybe haven't seen it that want to do that. But that was kind of the start of our golf season, Taylor. And then Kevin and I have been playing it ever since. And it's been a great year for us for Callaway Golf. Let's just go back to that March fitting session to start. I know that regardless probably of whatever manufacturer we're talking about when it comes to golf clubs, I'm sure all of you would agree that getting them fitted to fit you individually is one of the most important things you can do to start with.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, custom fitting has come such a long way from, you know, the beginnings of adjustable drivers and everything, all the technology we now have to be able to look at everyone's individual strokes as opposed to, you know, just trying to fit people into categories. We can really pinpoint aspects of your game and things that you do well, things that you don't do well, so that we can build those into the clubs so that you can go out and play your best. There's really kind of nothing in our way other than our own imagination sometimes of the ways that we can help you improve your game. And it's just a matter of being in the right place and actually taking the time to do it correctly.
You know, the one thing that was interesting besides Brian Hogan all the time in the fitting session.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That's true. I did.
That is true, by the way. But that's all right. Brian and I are similar handicaps. Yes, for once, Jeff, I got the shaft.
I'm just being quiet over here.
But Brian and I being similar handicaps, yet we're fitted for different clubs. I find that's why it's so important, because you can have 2-7 handicaps and they can be in just completely, you know, still the same line. We're in the Maverick line, but different shafts, different heads. Just talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, even if you look at, so we were over at Woods to Wedges, a great partner with Callaway. If you look up on the wall with all the shafts and all the heads, it sometimes can be overwhelming for, or even if you go in your local pro shop, it can sometimes be overwhelming with all the different products that are out there and all the different names and all the different, you know, weight schemes and colors and all of that to really understand what is actually going to be better for you. I know with the capabilities that we have and the different product lines that we have within Maverick, that all of them are really out there for different purposes, whether we need to hit the ball higher, we're really trying to hit the ball farther. We're trying to pinpoint certain statistical categories that we know through the data that we collect are going to help you improve. Everyone has a different swing. There are really admittedly no two swings are alike. And so you would never really look at 2-7 handicaps and think, well, they're going to have the same club because one could be coming up over the top. One can be a very shallow. Those two, you know, every type of different swing is going to need a different type of combination to be able to get the most out of it. And that's really where custom fitting nowadays just is so important in every club fitting purchase or in every club purchase so that you can really take it to the next level as opposed to just guessing based on what you see on the course on, you know, on a day-to-day basis.
Taylor, I think a lot of people know, you know, fitting, you go to the demo days and stuff. You were talking earlier about a putter fitting. Can you talk a little bit about what's a putter fitting entail?
Sure. So, I mean, putters admittedly almost are the most important club in the bag. It's the one that we likely use the most and sometimes can be the most frustrating, especially if it's not actually working the way that we want it to. When, you know, with all of the capabilities we have and different hosels and lengths and weights, especially with our new Stroke Lab technology to really allow us to use your stroke to your advantage, really, is where that technology really ends up sitting is, if we can pinpoint certain aspects of players' games, like their arc pattern, Whether they're struggling with pace and or direction, certain aspects about forgiveness in putters, weight schemes in putters that we can, through obviously using a tool like, actually I have it right here, we can take a look at it. So this is a tool that you'll find in certain areas. It's called our Odyssey Fits tool. This actually takes an infrared reading of your putt so that you can, or I can determine based on the data that I get back, like you have for TrackMan with irons or drivers, what type of tendencies you have in your own swing, so that we can then relate that to different weight schemes and hosels that would be more beneficial for you once you actually get on the course, to take your worst aspects of your putting game and try to help those, but then also take the best aspects of your putting game and try to enunciate those. If you're really good at distance control, it's not something we necessarily have to build into a putter, but you really struggle with the arc in your putter stroke. That's something that we can focus on and have a head or a hosel that is going to really focus in on that and help you move forward.
Taylor Gessel from Callaway Golf here with us on Tee to Green here on this Saturday morning. Hope you're enjoying the interview so far. Taylor, Jeff just talked about putting. Let's talk a little bit about the new Odyssey putter with the triple track kind of lineup on that. What sort of feedback have you been getting? And for the best that you can, describe it for our radio listeners here too, kind of how does it look different than maybe some of the other Odyssey putters that they might be picturing in the past?
Sure. So we started our triple track technology on our golf balls last year with the ERC Soft as well as the Chrome Soft X golf balls. The triple track, which I've got actually a ball here with me, the triple track is this pattern that you see on the golf ball. And what triple track is really going to give you the advantage to do is aligning your golf ball almost is the most important step to be able to actually execute a putt the way that we want to. A lot of players will put the lines on the golf ball themselves, whether it's with a Sharpie and one of the little plastic tools. But what we've been able to do, and what the research that we've taken to make this triple track what it is using the same type of pattern and width and length that you actually see on aircraft carriers. So think of landing planes on aircraft carriers. They don't have a whole lot of room for error, and they have to get that very precise every time. Because really what this is there to do, and what you'll see when you see videos of, you know, those aircraft landing, is these lines actually act as an extension all the way through the target. So the lights that you see on aircraft carriers are not only there to give them the target to go to, but they're supposed to extend out past that so that they have as long of a visual line as possible. Now, when we connotate that to what we actually want to see on the green, if we can use an alignment tool like this to then pick your spot, you know, whatever your technique is to putting and aligning yourself. Normally some guys will pick a spot maybe, you know, halfway to the hole that they want to make sure it gets to. They use this to align themselves to that target. That's going to help them extend their visual line out, you know, after the ball to be able to, you know, execute that putt down that line the best as possible. What we wanted to do this year was to take that to the next level. Alignment is all well and good on golf balls, but executing that and being able to see that in relation to the putter itself is almost just as important. So we've taken the same spacing that you have on your golf balls and extended that line backwards onto that putter, whether it's the double wide, you know, that's a little bit more of a blade style. We have multiple mallet styles that give you even further extension of this same pattern onto your putter. Not only does that continue that trend of seeing down the line that you establish, but it also actually gives you a visual representation of whether you're actually, you know, following your own putter stroke down the line that you want to create. If you see, you know, see this and it's, you know, crooked to the line, you obviously know that you're not aligned correctly with your putter. So we've, you know, in the fittings that I've done and the studies that we've done to see how this triple track can actually help players improve, I mean, it's overwhelming. Instituting the triple track on the golf ball is a great first step. Instituting that then onto the putter really gives guys the edge to be able to align, not only align their balls correctly, but to actually be able to execute a putter stroke in the way that they want to.
This is going to shock both Brian and Jeff. Taylor fitted me on that earlier, and I took it out for a round, and then, you know, he said, I don't need it back till next week. I still have it. So that's going to shock both of you, but that's how well I putt with it. So
he's taken social distancing with that putter to a very maximal level.
That's right.
He's America's guest. Yeah.
But I will tell you this: you don't need the ball itself with the lines is helpful even without the triple track putter. And my son taking the junior program at Lancaster Country Club or home club. The other day, I'm playing with him. He pulls out a triple track ball. I'm like, "Where did you get that? Did you go in my golf bag?" He's like, "No. Coach Scott gave him to us. So, and he's a fan of it. I thought he liked the soccer ball better, pattern on the chrome soft, but no, he likes the triple track line just as well, maybe even more."
Yeah, Kevin, you make a good point. When we see the data from how everyone's buying golf balls nowadays. Decorated golf balls, like the Truvis golf ball that you spoke about, and obviously triple track, account for a large portion of really what guys are out there playing now. White golf balls are still very important, and you'll see more white golf balls on the PGA Tour than you'll see decorated golf balls. But when it comes to helping out, you know, your game improvement player, those that are really struggling with putting, which I think all of us have felt at one or multiple points, this week, maybe you having some sort of strategy on your golf ball, whether it's triple track or Truvis, is out there to just give you a competitive advantage.
Taylor Gessel from Callaway Golf with us here on Tee to Green. Brian Colziel, Kevin Sylvester, PGA Pro Jeff Mitis. Well, we've seen explanations from Phil Mickelson, and obviously, you know, when it comes to branding, Taylor, having Phil Mickelson on your side is obviously a good help for everybody at Callaway, but he's explained how he uses that triple track in different ways, whether he's on the green, whether he'll line it up directly with his putter on shorter putts, or how he'll actually turn it perpendicular for some longer putts or vice versa. He's got a whole different system with it too, but obviously Mickelson kind of leading the charge, I'm sure, is something that all of you enjoy because he gets a lot of TV time, which means that Chrome Soft gets a lot of TV time too.
Yeah, he's certainly a great brand ambassador, and I know, you know, precisely what you're talking about. Of it's not always about seeing right down the line. You can obviously use triple track in various ways. He's a great example of it.
Absolutely, and you know, Schauffele plays it. Daniel Berger, who won a few weeks ago, he plays it as well. Sergio, I know, does too. So let's talk a little bit about the Maverick line, the drivers and the irons. If you've seen Mickelson play, which many of you have, you've probably seen the bag from some of these players. Let's go ahead and talk a little bit about that line, especially the driver. I'm sure a lot of people are interested in hearing about that.
Sure. Obviously, you know, both you guys and I played with Kevin this year. Hopefully we'll get the opportunity to play together this year. I mean, driver is obviously an important part of everyone's bag. It's normally the first club that everybody hits. And so, on fitting days that I've been out to and interacting with everyone out there this year, it's, you know, the Maverick driver really has, with all three of our strategies that we have in the Maverick line, whether it's the standard model that's really out there for more distance, whether it's the Max model that is there to promote a straighter ball flight, a higher MOI and a higher forgiveness, or the Sub-Zero model, which I play myself, that is out there to drop some spin rate, to cut down on some trajectory. All three of those different modes of driving are all important and goes back to that custom fitting to really be able to dictate which avenue we want to take. It really has been impressive to see what Maverick has done with the right club fittings to not only be able to help guys hit it farther, which is normally the prompt that we're getting when we're talking about drivers, but to be able to do it consistently. It's all well and good to be able to hit it a mile, you know, one every 20 shots, but if it's not sustainable, we can't actually act upon that. We can't, you know, manage the course in the right way to be able to expect that type of distance every time. And so really what I've seen Maverick been able to give people is not only the better distance if that's what we're out there to do, but doing it over and over again. The type of pattern when we look at the data on TrackMan of not only seeing the jump forward, but it really almost most of the time seeing the floor of distances with Maverick being the ceiling of their previous clubs is to me is impressive, and it really is out there to help guys be able to manage courses better, put themselves in more positions to actually score on courses. And so, you know, who really wouldn't want to hit an 8-iron instead of a 6-iron? That's some guys can be put in, you know, put in that position to really help. And I've seen it admittedly all across the board. Some of the fastest swingers that I fit are always going to get distance, and it's more sometimes trying to get them to obviously hit it more consistently, where sometimes some of the slowest swingers, and admittedly a lot of the women that I work with, have really seen so much of an impressive jump in from what they had before, that they're looking at the course differently now. Par fours, you know, second shots on par fours are now not with hybrids, but with irons. That gives such a competitive advantage to anybody. Second shots on par fives being with hybrids as opposed to three woods that are normally a little bit tougher to hit. Being able to be in a better position on the golf course, especially off of the tee, whether it's a distance factor, whether it's a direction factor, is always going to help. That's something that I've seen the Maverick driver really been able to give people a step forward.
Excellent. A lot of good stuff here. Taylor Gessler from Callaway Golf. Taylor, if anybody's listening, maybe wants to connect with you and to either
give out your cell phone, Taylor.
Some more information.
Right now.
I don't get enough phone calls every day.
No, what can they do to get a hold of you?
No, well, and we have a lot of great partners in the Western New York area. Obviously, we highlighted Woods to Wedges. They do a great job. But contact your local golf professionals, whether it's at a club that you play at, or any of the partners that you have at any of the public facilities or private facilities, whether they have the tools to do it themselves or they can point you in the right direction to do that. If you're in the market for golf clubs, hopefully mine, please get custom fit, see the right people to be able to do that, so that you're happier playing for the rest of the year and moving forward with the clubs, and you can go out there and play some good golf.
And yeah. Use his golf ball. The Callaway Soft.
Yeah.
Great ball.
It's been a great golf ball all year. I'm excited for those that give me the shot to play the golf ball this year. That is, you'll enjoy yourself. It's a good ball.
Now, personally, I've enjoyed playing the new clubs and the Chrome Soft. So it's been a great experience so far, Taylor. So we appreciate that. Selfishly for my own game. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Right.
All right. Taylor Gessler from Callaway Golf here on Tee to Green. We'll take a break. More coming up right after this timeout with Brian Colziel, Kevin Sylvester, and PGA Pro Jeff Mitas right here on WGR Sports Radio 550.
You're listening to Tee to Green, presented by the Western New York PGA. Woods to Wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome, Custom Turf, Michelob Ultra, and Jim Beam. And by our home clubs, Tantara Golf Club, Briarwood Country Club, and Lancaster Country Club. Stay tuned. More Tee to Green coming up.
I want to thank our friends at Scroy Financial for their support of Tee to Green. They are the locally family-owned financial planning firm and helping Western New Yorkers reach their financial goals since 1971. Listen, call and set up a complimentary one-hour consultation. 716-674-6700. Go to scroyfinancial.com. That's S-G-R-O-I financial.com. Also, support from the Jumpa Agency, offices in Clarence and Williamsville. The Jumpa Agency with Allstate.
Allstate, part of our majors contest, as well as Batavia Downs. Watch my Twitter feed this week at BrianWGR. I will be tweeting out information on how you can get into our first majors contest of the season. The PGA Championship is about 2 weeks away. So look for that on my Twitter timeline at BrianWGR. I want to thank Taylor Gessler from Callaway Golf for joining us last segment. Again, if you want to get in touch with Taylor directly, reach out to me or Kevin or Jeff, and we'll hook you up with Taylor, who does a great job with Callaway Golf. Time for our Champions Tour report now, brought to you by Donald Ross Clothing, the official clothing right here of all of us on Tee to Green. We're a week away from the Champions Tour, starting up July 31st, round one, the Ally Challenge. Saw a picture, did you guys see it, of the new svelte Colin Montgomery. He's dropped over 40 pounds. He says he's ready to go. He's excited to play on the Champions Tour this year.
He did look good. I got to give credit. He lost a lot of weight. Yeah. That doesn't – my mental image of him my whole life is him being a little bit of a dope boy out there on the tour. Yeah.
I was thinking doughy. That's the same thing I was thinking, doughy.
Yeah. It wasn't Mr. Fitness. Let's put it that way. No.
You know what? I will say this about Montgomery. I think he's an excellent commentator on television. I think he's done a very nice job.
And hits that high fade all the time, right, Jeff?
Yeah, you wouldn't want to emulate that swing, but that works for him. Yeah, he just knows how to play.
Absolutely. So we'll have Champions Tour things to talk about next week as they are all be back going. Okay, we're going to finish with our Western New York PGA Tip of the Week, brought to you by the Western New York PGA. Western New York PGA has one goal, promoting and growing the game of golf today, tomorrow, and beyond. Well, we spent a lot of the first segment talking about Jon Rahm and that chip-in, which got him the win at Memorial. How can you hit a shot like that, Jeff? You are less than 10 yards away from the pin. You're in thick, heavy rough. You've got to at least advance it a few yards before it gets onto a super fast green. And I know a lot of people, this is a super scary shot. So what are some of the things to think about here in our tip of the week?
Well, first of all, that is a hard, hard golf shot. And what do you got to have? You got to have a lot of loft in that situation. This is where your 60-degree wedge is going to be a big asset for you. And maybe open up that blade a little bit. I kind of play those a lot of times like a bunker shot. You're not even going to try to contact the ball. You may hit an inch or so behind the ball. So you set up, instead of having the ball forward, though, you have your normal kind of pitching and chipping setup with a little bit of an open blade, and then try to hit about an inch behind it with some speed, because it's really hard to get some clean. You're not getting clean contact when the ball's in the rough like that. So you need to use loft to get the ball to stop or, you know, to not trundle on way, way past the hole. So that's why I'll hit it a little bit more like a bunker shot, open up that blade, and have some speed to get some zip, because that long grass is what grabs the club and slows it down. So if you're taking a tentative or trying to hit it low, that, you know, I'm always talking about getting the ball on the green and getting it running as soon as possible. That's the opposite when you're in the long rough. You want to have the blade open and you want to have some speed. And it's a very difficult shot. It takes a lot of judgment, takes a lot of practice and skill. Those guys are very, very good at it. That's where you separate the really good short game from the average short game. So it's just one of those shots that limit your expectations and add some loft and add some speed.
Jeff, what about stance? Narrower, wider? Should you bend a little more? Like anything that should change on a shot like that with a lot of rough?
No, still your same pitching stance. You know, you're still hitting down on it a smidge. You never see short shots with a wide stance. So you want to have a narrow stance when you're hitting short shots. It adds a little touch and feel to it. I always tell people to exaggerate the opposite. Take the widest stance you can around a pitch, and you'll see how uncomfortable it is to hit a pitch like that. The only reason you'll ever see wide stances is when they've got an unusual stance, a bad side hill, uphill, downhill, something like that. So feet closer together always equates to a little more touch and feel, and it allows you to rotate a little bit easier. So as the clubs get shorter, you'll tend to have a narrower stance, and you'd still have a narrow stance on that little pitch. You never watch the tour players. There's never a wide stance on those short shots.
Okay, good advice there. Our Western New York PGA Tip of the Week from Jeff Mitis. A few minutes left here in our segment. We have gone almost the entire show without mentioning Tiger Woods. He played last week. Kevin, what'd you think of him? He makes the cut on the number. Little up and down, little inconsistency, but anything jump out that you want to share?
Well, there's a lot of talk about his, you know, back being stiff, right, in the first couple rounds. But, you know, he's Tiger, right? He grinded to make the cut. What you think was important for him to be competitive. And, you know, he's looking at the PGA Championship. Although, you know, it's cool out in San Francisco. So you got to wonder with the majors, cool temperatures, because it's about majors for Tiger Woods right now. So he's got to play more, but I think he's playing when he can. I mean, I think it was just an instance, Jeff, where we can't forget the amount of surgeries he's had on his back.
Yeah, and he probably wanted to get some live competitive action in his belt, you know, to prepare for the PGA Championship. He doesn't make that cut if DeChambeau doesn't have that blow-up either. So he misses the weekend. But, yeah, it's interesting. He didn't seem to be in top form. Now, he hadn't played in a very long time. I'm sure he's home this week, you know, going through the things that didn't go well, what shots he was uncomfortable with, and preparing himself. No one knows how to prepare themselves for a major like maybe Jack Nicklaus did. But Tiger's up there with the best of them in the world. So we'll see. If he's physically able to play, he'll be fine. I'm not too worried about him. He always seems to arise to the occasion. Having written him off so many times, I never want to write him off again.
Yeah, we're 2 weeks away from the first major of the year. Hey, a shout out here to finish. I know that I'm fortunate. I've gotten a chance to play some great courses over the last 2 weeks here. So even some of our home clubs, Lancaster Country Club, Tantara Golf Club, Glen Oak, Niagara Frontier, a lot of these courses – friends of our show here, Tee to Green, the courses have just been everywhere I go, just I'm like, you know what? This is the best I've ever seen Lancaster. This is the best I've seen Tanteros, the best I've seen Glen Oak, the best I've seen Niagara Frontier. Like, the course superintendents and all the other courses out there, if you're listening, if you're a course superintendent, you and your staff, shout out to you. I know it's been a nice year for weather, but man, the courses are looking great. Rounds are up everywhere, Jeff and Kevin. So they don't even maybe have as much time to work on it, but boy, I'm sure you echo it too, Kevin, just how great everywhere looks here where we're playing this year.
Oh yeah. I mean, the challenges that we have with our weather in Western New York and the superintendents and their staffs, what they're able to do. You're right. We don't appreciate them enough. No doubt about it.
Yeah. And the one thing with the COVID, it has been a bit of a boon for the golf industry, which is for those courses which needed it. And it's been a good year for growing grass, but it's also been super busy, and there's been a ton of players, which also puts a lot of stress on your grass.
That's right. So everybody continue to follow the COVID restrictions at the golf courses. I know everything's trending well in our area, but continue that diligence. It's going to
fix your ball marks. Fix your ball marks.
Yes. Say thank you to the golf staff and the supers and everybody else there, because the courses everywhere have been looking great.
Yeah, don't act like Bryson out there. Yeah.
That's right. Be nice to everybody.
Be nice to everybody.
That's right. Even if you're not playing your best, be nice. That's right. All right. Well, we wish you the best in your round this weekend. Kevin, I'm sure you're going to play here very soon, so good luck in that.
Yes, I am, baby.
All right.
Tomorrow morning.
Jeff, that's right. Jeff, have a great
weekend.
I'll
be playing and teaching also. I'm looking forward to it.
That's right. Thanks to everybody for listening to our show this week. For Taylor Gessel from Callaway Golf, thank you, Taylor. Derek Kramer, our producer. PGA Pro Jeff Bezos, Kevin Sylvester, I'm Brian Colziel. Thanks for listening. Tee to Green every Saturday right here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.